Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel, boys and girls?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, does John Gruden have any idea what he's doing as he prepares to head to London for the international series? We'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. How about this little nugget after we're talking about the NFC East, how bad the NFC East is? Right now, Washington's in first place with a 500 record. No team in the NFC East has a plus point differential. Everybody is negative point differential. Washington's at 2-2 in first place. The Cowboys and Eagles are at 2-3. And the Giants, who are 1-4 and have been nothing but a headache all season long for their fans, with a win over the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, would have a share for the moment of first place in the division. At 1-4, the Giants could win, and at 2-4 have a share of first place. The Giants are negative 24 in point differential and yet have scored the most points out of anybody in the NFC East. 104. Go figure. A Giants offense that has been widely criticized, hadn't scored 30-plus points in forever, actually is technically the highest scoring offense right now in the NFC East. This smells like an 8-8 division winner to me. Which is not good for the Giants and not good for Sean Marash, a.k.a. Marez, because that young man was looking forward to a fun fall. That young man was looking forward to a long Yankees October run, a Giants season with Saquon Barkley running the rock behind Eli Manning, an improved offensive line, throwing the football to a healthy Odell Beckham. How would you stop all of the weapons of the New York Giants? Odell, Saquon, good tight end targets, an improved Eli, better play calling under Pat Shurmur. This was going to be a year where the fall of 2018 was going to be so glorious for Mraz. And yet here we are. The Giants 1-4, season done. The New York Yankees season officially over. His New York Rangers in rebuild mode. It's a long, dark winter. The only thing left for him as a potential shiny spot is what happens in the offseason. And if you are the New York Yankees, this is really interesting because in the past you have bought your way out of problems.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
In the past, if you were humiliated in the postseason, which the Yankees just were, you would simply spend the money. But that was when you had a different ownership. This is a new ownership after George Steinbrenner passed away that wants to be under the luxury tax, wants to be financially responsible. When have we ever heard a financially responsible Yankees team? Now, they might have more flexibility this offseason if they had not traded for a complete and utter stiff, being Giancarlo Stanton last winter. But yet here he is with an unmovable contract and a huge hole in the middle of that lineup when last night of the ninth inning and they needed a base hit at a good at-bat, he flailed and didn't make contact once. The only batter that Craig Kimbrell didn't have a problem with in the ninth inning was Giancarlo Stanton. Would they go after Bryce Harper? Would they go after Manny Machado? Would they go after a starting pitcher like Zach Britton or a starting pitcher like Dallas Keuchel? Would they go after a guy like Zach Britton to help bolster a bullpen? You've got guys like Lance Lynn and Neil Walker that'll be free agents. Should they make a big trade? Next year's free agent class, Nolan Arenado could be there. Marcelo Zuna could be there. Maybe Chris Davis. Would they make a trade for one of those? Do they have to go and sign a starting pitcher like Dallas Keuchel, like Matt Harvey, perhaps Nathan Eovaldi, who shut them down, Patrick Corbin, or maybe even the guy that Mraz once called Uncle Rufus, Charlie Morton?
Is that right? Uncle Rufy hitting the free agent market?
That's right.
All right.
Now suddenly you want Uncle Rufus.
Well, I mean, he was Uncle Rufus at a time, but Uncle Rufy came through. I'll take him in the pinstripes. Let's go.
He shut you guys down in the ALCS last year.
Things are opening up. How much? If Uncle Rufy doesn't command that much, I say we bring him in.
Uncle Rufy now.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not going to be Rufus sounds really like demonizing. He's Rufy if he comes to us.
Demonizing?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I'm making fun of the guy, but if he's a Yankee, true Yankee, he's Uncle Rufy.
He's a true Yankee, not even on the team yet. He's a true Yankee. He's Uncle Rufy.
He's Uncle Rufy to us.
Once upon a time, the Yankees would simply go out and spend all of the money without any payroll limits, without any salary cap, without any luxury tax. It did not matter. The Yankees, the most valuable team in baseball, with the deepest pockets and the best television money coming in, and owners that didn't care, an owner that didn't care what it took to win, they wouldn't let this happen. But guys, it is a different reality. The Steinbrenner kids, they don't want to spend all of that money. And I don't even know if Brian Cashman wants to spend all of that money. I kind of feel like Cashman likes seeming smart. I think he likes appearing smarter than his other GMs. And so he doesn't want to just cut the check. And after you now inherit a disastrous contract like Giancarlo Stanton, I've got to feel like there's a little buyer's beware for the Yankees. Also, the Jacoby Ellsbury situation, that contract is a nightmare as well. They've got two guys on this roster that they are paying buku bucks that give you basically nothing. Are they going to want to go out and spend money on more guys like that? Or are they going to be a little gun shy? I got to tell you, this is a new reality for the Yankees. This is no longer just spend the money, get whoever in here. And the tabloids want it in New York. And the Yankees fans that remember the good old days want that in New York. But I don't think that's going to happen. Everybody thinks, oh, Machado or Harper or Keuchel or this guy or that guy. I don't think that's going to happen. The Yankees will probably go out there and try to sign one of those guys. But unless they can get some ridiculous sucker to take on Giancarlo Stanton or Jacoby Ellsbury's remaining contract, I don't think they're going to go out there and spend tons of money on multiple guys. And Yankee fans hoping and waiting for that are going to be hoping and waiting for another dark, bleak winter that never comes with the bright sunshine. We'll be back in April saying the same thing about the Yankees. The Red Sox are the better roster. Mraz didn't want to believe it. Didn't want to believe it because even back in August, he guaranteed an ALDS. Oh, the Yankees would not even sweat the Red Sox. Not even sweat them. And here they are home for the holidays already. Didn't even hit mid-October yet. It's October 10th and Mraz and Yankee fans have no more baseball left. Well, what happened to all the guarantees from the swine? Listen in closely, boys and girls, because you've heard a lot of oinking over the last couple of months. But now, there's only this. That's the sound of sizzling bacon. Hot, porky, beautiful bacon that can guarantee no more.
I will do literally anything you want if the Yankees lose to the Red Sox in a division series. Literally anything. The Yankees will beat the Red Sox in October. You could put me up on a light pole and peg me with softballs. I don't care. The Red Sox will not beat the Yankees in a series in the postseason. What starting pitcher's beating them other than Sale?
Sale is the first one. Porcello can absolutely do that.
Oh, get serious.
Did he just do it over the weekend?
I mean, we need Aaron Judge back. Once he's back, it's fine. You coast the ALCS and you see who you got, Cleveland or Houston. Chris Sale, who can't pitch in the postseason, and David Price, yes, you coast. But if Aaron Judge does play, yeah, I would assume it's a sweep, sure. This ain't a thing but a chicken wing. They're in the ALCS already. It's over. You can't stop this machine right now. We got Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, you trust Aaron Boone in October?
Why wouldn't you? Yankee time. Pinstripe pride. Piggy's going to be eating a lot of potatoes watching the Yankees blow through Boston and Boise. J.D. Martinez. Woo! Chris Sale. Woo!
Wait till they buzzsaw you. You guys are going down in four.
Who's buzzsawing him? David Price playing Fortnite? Get serious. Team stinks. Worst 110-win team ever. It's over, baby. Luis Severino throws a gem tonight. Then Jay Happ beats Chris Sale. Then Tanaka beats David Price. And suddenly, Luis Severino, ball in his hand. We're going for the sweep at Yankee Stadium.
What happened to all those guarantees? All of them came up empty. All of them.
Tanaka outpitched Price.
I called it Red Sox in four way back when. Mraz didn't want to hear it. I said Porcello could outduel them. Mraz didn't want to hear it. Aaron Judge coming back, that would change everything. A Yankee sweep, blah, 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 blah. Worried about Aaron Boone in October? No, not us. Boone pressed all the wrong buttons. Alex Cora played all the right ones. And the Yankees went down with a whimper. If it wasn't for Craig Kimbrell nearly melting down to the ninth inning last night, that would have been the two quietest crowds in Yankee Stadium October history. Lost 16-1 2 days ago, and then last night should have lost 4-1 with the Red Sox barely breaking a sweat in doing so. I don't know. You weren't scared at all about the Red Sox, Mraz, but that Red Sox team seemed far superior to your act.
Again, they had Angel Hernandez behind the plate. Changes everything. Sometimes the best team doesn't always win. We get that. That's part of baseball, and you got to pack up the bags and move on.
You're the worst.
I mean, again, these are facts. Hashtag facts.
They are so much better than you. Now, the Astros are better than the Red Sox, and I think the Houston Astros end up winning the ALCS, but both the Astros and the Red Sox are far superior to your team.
Not for long. Not for long, pal.
Well, we're talking about today. Talking about today, and the Red Sox were a better team than you guys from April through October, and they proved it on the field. They swept you when it mattered most, and then they beat you twice at Yankee Stadium. Embarrassing.
I mean, it's not embarrassing to lose the way they did yesterday, 4-3. I'd be real worried about that Red Sox bullpen. Look, sometimes, you know, the bounce of the ball goes the wrong way, and it did in this series, and that's fine. Again,
the bounce of the ball, you guys got hammered.
16-1, right. I get it. That game stunk. That was an anomaly.
Anomaly?
What do you call something that's out of place?
Anomaly.
It's an anomaly. That game was an anomaly. Last night should have been a Yankee win. Again, Hernandez totally wrecked CeCe early in that game. Thank goodness CeCe had the stones to go at him.
It was so not about Angel Hernandez.
He squeezed CeCe, threw everything off, and that's what ruined the inning. Boone overplayed his hand a little bit with the lineup. They still fought back. They're still my Yankees. And again, better teams sometimes in these short series don't always win. That's why the NBA's gotten away from the best of five in the first round.
How could you say they're not the better team when the Red Sox swept you guys that turned the entire division around?
With Judge out.
Won eight more games than you guys did and then beat you twice at Yankee Stadium to finish you off in four.
Well, I think everybody with a brain knows in the regular season that was because of the Yankee injuries. In the postseason, I mean, what can you say? You know, Aaron Boone ended up spitting up all over himself. And again, umpiring clearly, hurt the Yankees there. It's tough to beat the umps and another team. How can you do that? Angel Hernandez should have been doing Indians Astros. Maybe the Indians are still alive if he is.
The first exit in Loserville is blaming the umps. That's the first exit.
You just did a whole segment yesterday killing Angel Hernandez. Now I can't blame him?
Well, he was terrible yesterday or 2 days ago. He was terrible in Game 3.
Last
he was
night.
Not terrible last night.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
He was not.
Damon, wake up.
And he didn't decide Game 3 either.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
I will submit Game 3 to the reports, okay? I was wrong. I thought Severino would twirl it. He clearly didn't realize the start of the game time, and that's what hurt the Yankees in Game 3. Game 4, I mean, Angel Hernandez behind the plate, obviously was just the screw job was out. And then, you know, you can't make up for it when that idiot Stanton's hitting in the middle of the lineup.
You got problems with Giancarlo Stanton. Problems.
Well, he's going to be a Dodger problem soon. That's
you
it.
Ain't unloading that contract, man.
Oh, yes, we are. He wants the La La Land. We give him the La La Land. And we load up. We load up good. We eating good in the offseason.
What does that mean?
It means we're getting rid of that nasty contract, and we bring in some nasty boys. You know it. We know we're getting Keuchel. We know we're getting Corbin. You didn't mention Uncle Rufus. I didn't even factor that in. He'll probably get a lesser deal. Uncle Rufus? And it's Machado or Harper, one or the other, if not both.
Shut up.
You have a rich pork chop tonight? It could be both if Stanton's out. If Stanton's out, it could be both.
So you are counting on the Yankees to sign maybe the top five free agents in Major League Baseball all the same offseason.
If they get rid of Stanton, absolutely, because they have all these young kids on rookie deals. We have the money to do it. Let's go. Gardner out, CC out, that's clear, and more money off the books. These guys want to be Yankees. They see what's happening. Harper at first base, give them the first baseman's glove. We'll get Machado maybe to move over to third. We'll have Andujar DH when Stanton's gone. And then we're looking at a rotation with Severino, with Tanaka, with Uncle Rufus, with Keuchel. And then I guess Patrick Corbin will be the five. And then you factor in a young Justice Sheffield will be like their sixth guy. We can go six man at one point. And then let's see Big Bad Chris Sale and Dave Price come in next year. Let's see what's up. What's up? Have fun with Mitch Moreland. We got Bryce.
I mean, it's just so sad, isn't it, Bilotti? It is so sad. But he's just such a sad guy.
I couldn't believe he would get more piggier yeah, today.
After a loss.
He's worse. The piggier, worst today.
Yes,
even more so than when the Yankees were in the playoffs.
That's right.
I will have five new jerseys by Christmas. Let's go.
Somehow Mraz, his team just got humiliated by the Red Sox, and he became piggier. Well, here's the sound of the pig today. The sound of bacon sizzling. Hashtag silence the swine. When we come back, does John Gruden have any idea what he's doing as head coach? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, man. Here come my ex-wife. Could you beat me up? Oh, man, good looking.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good looking. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Brand new episode of Nomad's going to be out to debut season number 3 of my digital travel series, which will take us to Boise, and you'll get to see the sights and sounds of our trip out to Idaho. So make sure you go to YouTube, search my name and Nomad, and subscribe, and you'll get the notification when the episode is live. Coming up this week, let you know when it's out, but get the notification when it happens by subscribing to Nomad on YouTube. So the Raiders are traveling to London to take on the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. Number one, can I tell you how much I hate this because I hate the London series? I hate the London series because the NFL, which is doing quite well, thank you, financially, multi-billion dollars per year, about a $9 billion per year business. $9 billion. This is an NFL that has built its wealth off of our backs. We pay for the tickets. We pay for the cable subscriptions. We pay for the jerseys. We pay for the parking. We pay for the beer. We pay all of the things that they ask us to pay for so that their franchises are worth billions of dollars. Valuation of NFL franchises have gone up every single year for decades now because of what we provide here in the States, and it's still not good enough. I mean, talk about piggy. It's not like there's attendance woes in the NFL. It's not like we're not watching on television. It's not like they're not selling beer. It's not like we don't buy jerseys. It'd be one thing if the marketplace was down for them. It'd be one thing if they felt like they couldn't figure out how to monetize the fans here. But the fact is, they've monetized us to death, and we still keep coming back. And they are spitting in our eye by saying, yes, but we need more. They are taking their thumbs and sticking them in our eye and saying, yeah, we know we have taxed you, but we need more. Because you're taking away home games from fan bases that care about those teams. How much does it suck that the Jacksonville Jaguars are finally good and they get the defending Super Bowl champions in a quote-unquote home game and fans in Jacksonville can't watch that game in person, can't go out there, not part of their season ticket package, can't buy a ticket, can't tailgate, can't enjoy it because they sold it to London. The Oakland Raiders have, at best, two more seasons in Oakland, this year and next, and then they're headed to Vegas. Not only have you told them we are ripping the team that you love away from you, and you have nothing you can do about it, because you love this team and you've given us your heart for the better part of 60 years, but you know what? Doesn't matter. We're going to Las Vegas. You can do nothing about it because we got a free handout of a stadium. And we're taking home games away from you. So instead of having 8 regular season home games this year, next year, to salute and to experience your final games as Oakland Raider fans, we're going to take those away from you as well. I hate all of it. I hate all of it. So this Sunday, Raiders and Seahawks from London. And normally, teams leave as early as possible to get to London to adjust to the time change, especially a West Coast team. Think about how different the time change is for their bodies playing on a Sunday. That's what, according to an East Coast team, it's a 6-hour difference ahead or 5 hours. For a West Coast team, that's 8 or 9 hours difference, something like that. Normally, you'd want to get ahead of it. The Seahawks are going to be heading there on Wednesday to try to get some extra days in before Sunday's game. John Gruden's going to leave Thursday night. Most teams that are on the West Coast leave as early as possible in the week, or they stay on the East Coast. They stay in New York or Miami or somewhere along the East Coast to adjust the time change. Instead, the Raiders are going to just fly directly from Oakland to London Thursday night. Basically, John Gruden wants as little time out there as possible because he doesn't want to go. Now, John Gruden is allowed to do whatever he wants as head coach and the big honcho, the big kahuna for the Raiders. But when he tried to explain why he was doing this, he lost me. First, he said, I did a lot of research on it. People that have done it, people that have made the cross-country trip from California. He said, I don't know much about it. We're just doing the best thing we think for our players. Now, on the one hand, he says, I've done a lot of research on it. On the other hand, he says, I don't know much about it. Now, I hope he means I didn't know much about it before I researched it. Because if you do a lot of research on something, you should know a lot about it. But in terms of why they're choosing to do it, he didn't really have any type of rationale. He just kind of murky said, yeah, well, we're just trying to do what's best for the players. Okay. Well, every other coach that has done this is doing it differently, but fine. Then when pressed on it, said, honestly, I don't know. I just hope that I can do it because I'm not great at traveling. I get claustrophobic. I once went to Belarus to watch my son in a weightlifting competition. I had to fly 14 hours there, 14 hours home. I had vertigo for a month. I couldn't lay down. The house was spinning. I'm hoping I don't get vertigo. I'm not a great traveler. I'll be honest with you, I hate it. I'm not good at the traveling. I'm concerned. I'm more worried about that than our goal line offense right now. Now, John Gruden, I'm guessing, is making a joke there. But ultimately, does this sound like a man that has this franchise properly prepared and organized for any of these games. To this point in time, Gruden has just about seemed like the biggest bozo going. And this just seemed like another reason why. I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't know. I'm not good at traveling. I'm really not happy about this. We'll just do what the players want. Well, I don't know. Does this seem like a guy in control of this situation? Or is he just pushing it off so that he doesn't have to spend time in London? I think the big deal is he just doesn't want to do the press conferences and doesn't want to do the media tours and just doesn't want to be out of his comfort zone, which, not a good enough excuse. I'm wondering if this Gruden contract is not going to be the biggest albatross in NFL history. 10 years you got him for. 10 years. We ain't even through year number one. He's traded away the best player that you have. He has not fixed the offense. He's been overly conservative. They've lost leads late. Carr has not gotten to the next level. He's openly criticized his GM and his scouting department. He has called out his own number one draft pick by saying he didn't really want him. And he doesn't know what the hell he's doing in going to London. Other than that, things are great. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line, the story that did not make the cut this morning, including another day and another Antonio Brown story that got to make you wince if you're a Steelers fan. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
John Minko told about the new Secret Service theory around JFK's assassination.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa. Call your friends, folks.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always watch the show every single morning by simply going to watchda.com. That simulcast works on any device. You can pop it up on your smart TV. You can watch it on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your PC, wherever it is that you want to watch it, you can. That's at watchda.com. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Coming in on Twitter, Dan tweets, DA, has the Giancarlo acquisition been a bust for the Yankees, and should they try to deal him if there's a taker for him? The answer is absolutely try to trade him if you can, but nobody's going to trade for him, and here's why. Giancarlo made $25 million this season. He will make $26 million next year and $26 million after that. That means you are on the hook for $52 million over the next 2 years. That's not the bad part. If that was where the contract ended, $52 million over the next 2 years, he'd be a bargain in some ways. You know you're going to get 35 to 45 home runs out of him. The issue is tons of strikeouts, and can he come through in pressure situations, which he did not in this postseason and in so many other clutch situations throughout this season. And will he get better? Will he settle down? Or will he always have rabbit ears? I don't think he'll ever be comfortable in New York. I don't think he'll ever completely win over this fan base. It's after that that's the problem. If he opts out of his contract, his current contract, after the 2020 season, again, he's only got 2 years and $52 million left on this deal. But if he opts in, and oh, by the way, he's got a full no-trade clause. Full. He has this amount of money coming to him if he opts in 2020. $29 million in 2021. $29 million in 2022. $32 million in 2023. $32 million in 2024. $32 million in 2025. $29 million in 2026. $25 million in 2027. You are paying him for the next decade. Is he going to opt out of a deal like that? That would be suicide, financial suicide. You've got a minimum of $25 to $32 million coming to you, every year, no matter what, guaranteed injuries or production be damned until 2027. He's going to say no to that? So you've got to pay him that much money until 2027, 9 years from now, when he's 37 years old. Who would take that contract? And you would say, well, maybe the Yankees will throw in money for it. How much are you going to throw in? You're going to throw in $150 million just so that he's not on your books? This is one of the craziest, biggest albatross contracts ever. And the only team in America that could have taken it off of the Yankees' hands was, out of the Marlins' hands, was the Yankees. And that's why the Marlins didn't take anything back for Giancarlo. They gave away the contract for nothing. They said, we don't even care if we get a player back in return. We just don't want the contract anymore because this is ridiculous. And it's too bad that the Yankees did this. It's too bad because the Marlins ought to have had to deal with this. They made their bed and spent more than $300 million on this guy. And they should have, they ought to have had to pay the price on it. But they got out of jail free because there was one team that was willing to take him on, and that's the Yankees. Nobody else could possibly be dumb enough to inherit this ridiculous contract. The single most ridiculous contract in sports, and that includes what the Angels have given Albert Pujols over the last 5 years. It is time now for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
For a day, everything seemed fine in Steelers land after they just housed the Atlanta Falcons. Speaking of the house, Robbie Rosenhaus, he went 1-2, as did Mraz in his up-the-gut picks. The Battle of the Bulge remains, and Mraz leading by two games this week. Two games as both of the contenders went 1-2 on the week. But Antonio Brown suddenly has more trouble following him, as according to court documents, he's now facing two lawsuits in the state of Florida. He's accused of throwing furniture from the 14th story balcony of his Florida apartment building, nearly hitting a 22-month-old child. A lawsuit filed by the victim contends two very large vases, an ottoman, and other pieces of furniture landed just feet away from their child and his grandfather. Surveillance video shows objects falling from the balcony and nearly striking the two people on the ground. Apparently, luckily, nobody was injured. Somebody in Antonio Brown's apartment threw the vase off the balcony. It was a 3 to 4 foot high one that fell into the hot tub, and luckily, nobody was in the hot tub. Also, broken mirrors, broken tables, other pieces of furniture as well. Antonio Brown has been already a hothead this season. He's been a hothead on the field. He's been a hothead in the media. And this would kind of go down the road of the type of guy that he is. Again, it's just a lawsuit. I don't know if he's guilty of this. But it just feels like these things are attracted to Antonio Brown. And it's part of the reason that he's so difficult to have on the team. Is because he's so good. He's so dynamic. He's such a huge part of the offense. And enormous for Ben Roethlisberger and that team's success. And yet, it's never quiet with him. Ever. There is never a quiet day with Antonio Brown, which is why the Steelers just seem to be always flirting with fire. What's next with that team? What's next with the drama? What's next with the soap opera? When's it going to quiet down? Will it ever quiet down? And can it quiet down if Le'Veon Bell comes back? They just are the couple that always puts too much information on Facebook, that's always fighting, that you know every last detail about their fights, and you're just like, guys, get it together.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's look at some tweets here before we get to the epic fail. Alex tweets, Chucky Gruden is contradicting himself, and he's lost himself in his own rant. As a Raider fan, I'm asking John to please shut up and stick to your real gig, and that's coaching. or else he'll be ranting in the unemployment offices for another gig. Kind of like the Giancarlo Stanton contract, the Raiders are giving this guy guaranteed $100 million. I mean, it's guaranteed. They can't do anything about that. This is only year one. You can't fire him now. He's got to be part of this franchise at least for the next 6 to 7 years. And then after that, if you want to buy him out for the last three, I suppose you can. But he's not going to leave $10 million a year on the table. He won't be in the unemployment line. At best, and this is the best thing you could do if you're the Raiders, you fire Reggie McKenzie in the offseason, you hire a new head coach, and John Gruden merely becomes your $10 million a year general manager. Kind of like what Tom Coughlin is doing in Jacksonville. But he's now making $10 million a year to do what he's doing with the Jaguars. Also, I don't know. You know, Coughlin won two Super Bowls. Coughlin built an expansion team from the bottom up in Jacksonville and took them to two AFC title games. Tom Coughlin built the Boston College Eagles into a respectable football program. Gruden didn't do any of that. Gruden did, to his credit, win a couple of seasons in Oakland with the Raiders in the early 2000s. Outside of that, he has no experience building programs, building franchises, building rosters. And at best, the Raiders can pay him $10 million a year for the next decade to be in the front office. Talk about more bad money. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It's a good day to be a listener of the show. It's a good day to be a D-Alien. It's a good day to be a member of the staff here because we got to watch the silence of the swine.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The Red Sox will not beat the Yankees in a series in the postseason. Who? What starting pitcher's beating them other than Sale?
Sale is the first one. Porcello can absolutely do that.
Oh, get serious.
Did he just do it over the weekend?
Porcello escapes.
I mean, we need Aaron Judge back. Once he's back, it's fine. You coast the ALCS and you see who you got, Cleveland or Houston.
It was so close, so near and yet so far.
Chris Sale, who can't pitch in the postseason, and David Price, yes, to coast. But if Aaron Judge does play, yeah, I would assume it's a sweep, sure. This ain't a thing but a chicken wing. They're in the ALCS already. It's over.
And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees.
J.D. Martinez, Chris Sale,
So Sale comes in and has a 1-2-3.
It's over, baby. Luis Severino throws a gem tonight. Then Jay Happ beats Chris Sale. Then Tanaka beats David Price. And suddenly, Luis Severino, ball in his hand, we're going for the sweep at Yankee Stadium. These are the Yankees, the little engine that could, and you're dancing on an underdog's grave. You should never dance on an underdog's grave. That isn't what American sports is about if you don't have a rooting interest. And second of all, sometimes the best team doesn't always win. And that's what happened here.
They didn't win 108 games during the regular season by just being a decent team. I mean, they got a really good team over there.
You guys, really, embarrassment out of... I'm frankly disappointed in both of you.
Do you think it has anything to do with not us rooting for the Red Sox, but more against you and your arrogance?
But you should have been rooting for my arrogance, especially in this... You want to root for Houston? Fine. I get it. Cute city. You don't root for Boston.
It's awesome. You know, I can't wait to get in there and celebrate with everybody.
Joke! World Series, here we come. You know, and listen, things didn't shake their way. Angel Hernandez, had I known in August Angel Hernandez was going to be the umpire, I probably would have thought different. He's squeezing CeCe all night last night.
A Yankee Stadium home run for Christian Vasquez, and it's 4-0 Red Sox.
I mean, how low is it?
Them's the breaks in baseball. Yankees were the better team all year, and it just didn't shape up.
How can you figure they were the better team if they won eight fewer games?
But they would have won 109 games had Judge not gotten hurt. That was such a big, important blow for them.
You're so sad.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Colin tweets, wow, Mraz didn't know an umpire can make a player hit a ball. Thanks for the insight. Hashtag get him out.
Get him out.
John tweets, you won't let the pig wear sweatpants at work, but you'll let him drink on the job. Hashtag sizzling bacon.
Get him out.
Aaron of the 208. When DA and Bronco Nation blame Mraz for the loss here, I assumed it was superstition and a lack of ownership. After he said Boise State and the Yankees are a sure thing and they both lost, I'm starting to believe it. You guys need to come back to the Blue next season for redemption.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yank out. I hit my arm. Oh, Yankees win.
Godzilla Flame Wolf tweets, since Mraz said that you can make him do anything when the Red Sox beat the Yankees in that clip, you should force him to A, not watch the Yankees all year, or B, drop his grievance against Big Freeze. Hashtag make the piggy suffer. We can't not make him watch the Yankees because we can't be with him all the time. But we can punish him. He said he's willing to do anything, include climbing a light post, letting us throw softballs at him. That feels like something that could be in our future. One final time with John Sterling getting hurt by banging his elbow in the press box.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yank. Ow. I hit my arm. Oh, Yankees win.
That is the perfect metaphor for the New York Yankee fan in Mraz today. All gleeful, all happy, all arrogant, and ow! Ooh, ow, that stings. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We all had so much fun picking on the bacon today. Maybe we'll do it again tomorrow. Until next time, be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
Yank. Ow. I hit my arm. Oh.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.